T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Joe Maddon, who you've made the point, his steady hand is something that this team maybe should be a little bit more thankful for.
When you've got a team that has a whole bunch of expectations on it, a measurement of the manager is how quiet he can keep the season. And Joe hasn't kept it steady the entire time he's been here. Things have been rough. But the only time anyone has stood up and wondered whether Joe was going to keep his job was during this last offseason. And it was because a lot of decisions by the front office didn't go right. And there's this other force in baseball that is essentially not paying your manager. You are bringing in first-time guys that you can get away with not paying $6 million a year.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Stan Bowman is going to join us at 9:40. The Hawks wheeling and dealing yesterday, finding another defenseman, and perhaps auguring more trades to come. And we'll talk to him about that. Mike Anderson, the former Arkansas head coach, now with St. John's, is going to join us at 10 to talk about the new Bull, Daniel Gafford, midday midway at 10:40. Joe Sheehan on baseball at 11. And all kinds of surprises and fun along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. Go there to listen to us live where we stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You want to send us text? You can do that. 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. That man is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app.
Who would have thought Luka Doncic could win a rookie of the year?
Amazing, isn't it?
When you're looking for professional basketball players, drafting a professional basketball player seems like a pretty decent route.
Yeah, a really good pro basketball player.
Just
a
thought.
Who knew he'd be a good pro basketball
player?
Just
a thought.
That's some scouting there.
I'll be damned. It happened.
That is some bold scouting.
It's what we do.
Outstanding work. And when you download that app, you stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. If you want to watch us, you can do that. Brian Gertz sets up the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Back around the hallway here in our old studio, in the producer's studio, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz. So we had a little bit of chippiness last night. We had some texture to that game.
Can we come up with a term for it? Are we going to call this a kerfuffle? Is it a brouhaha?
Is it a brouhaha? An ado?
Ooh, it could be an ado.
It could be a hoo-ha.
Ooh, it could. It's certainly not a hoedown.
No.
It could be a hoo-ha.
Does it rise to Donnybrook?
No, not a Donnybrook. I believe Donnybrook needs some sort of physical altercation. It was, I think, a whole lot of nonsense that bleeds into this long and tired discussion of unspoken baseball rules again. I do want to begin the show, though, by saying at least, you know, it, regardless of what happened, regardless of what side you came down on, whether you're Wilson Contreras should do everything he can, or don't look into the dugout, or Tyler Flowers was right, or doesn't matter, just win the game, at least in both cases, neither of these teams is the Mets. And that's a big plus.
Well,
every day you wake up in Major League Baseball,
just remind yourself of that, of how special that is.
You're not the Mets. So moving on from there, I do have some issues with Wilson Contreras and the way he acted last night. It probably doesn't matter one way or the other, but when you get into the every single pitch conversation that catchers are having with umpires, whether they're hitting or whether they're behind the plate, there's a personal level that conversation happens on, and nobody likes it intruded on. Nobody likes that.
This was when Wilson Contreras is batting, and he's talking, and Tyler Flowers just, you know, has a reputation well-earned of being great at umpire fooling.
He is a wizard.
He's
a magician. He is a trickster. He is Loki. It's incredible.
And some umpires can be more resentful than others about a catcher's ability to do it. And that's why in the conversations that the good pitch framers have, whether it's Yadier Molina or whether it's Flowers, of how Yasmani Grandal, how they talk to the umpires and how they work it is part of the job. It's part of what you do. It is a human being. That's the fallibility. That's the problem with all of this. We need to get rid of the quote-unquote human element to take all of this stupidity out of the game. Then when you have a catcher batting, a catcher who's also a red ass. A
little bit.
And a catcher who then ends up hitting a home run, it just lights the whole thing on fire. It's all ridiculous. It's all kind of entertaining, but I understand why some of this stuff happens.
Yeah, in case you missed it last night, it's different than celebrating a home run. It's different than stuff that we've kind of advocated Tim Anderson doing. It's not quite just that. Wilson Contreras on an 0-1 pitch got called for strike two when Tyler Flowers brought one just a little back over the outside corner to him. I thought it was a good pitch. Flowers got the call, and Wilson had a conversation with the home plate umpire, John Tempain. Flowers got involved in that conversation. It seemed one way or the other. They took exception to it. On the very next pitch, Wilson Contreras took a shot out to right field. Home run. That put the Cubs ahead 1-0. And that was the only run for a good long time in that game. John Lester was terrific. He escaped some danger here or there. But as Wilson was leaving the moment he left the batter's box, he turned around and barked at Tyler Flowers. Then barked at either Will Venable, the Cubs first base coach, or the Braves dugout, depending on who you are. I mean, if you're Brian McCann, you thought that it was an affront to humanity that Wilson Contreras said what he said when he was going around first base. And if you're Will Venable, he's like, hey, he's just talking to me. Then did more, you know, pump up kind of stuff when he got toward his own dugout. And the two of them, Flowers and Contreras, really got into it when he hit home plate. Benches cleared, a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of this, that, and the other. And I thought it was interesting to hear from Wilson Contreras after the game. He did a post-game interview with Kelly Krull, who was kind enough to sit in for Mike Mulligan this morning on the Mully and Haw show. And that was good in its own right, but Wilson had a few more minutes to calm down, I think, and frame the conversation. There you go. In a little bit of a better way. So nice. We want you to hear from Wilson. You're welcome, Zachals. I want you to hear from Wilson after the game. This is in the locker room. This is post-game after he's had some time to think, and he was asked about the verbal battle between him and Tyler Flowers.
Excuse me?
It happened to Tyler Flowers.
Oh, it's nothing. A lot of things of the game, a lot of emotions together. I was just having a conversation with the umpire, and he ended up with him. So that's all I can say.
So afterwards, there's no problem with you.
Oh no, I just basically tell him to do his job. I do mine. That's, I don't know why he got pissed off, because that's all I say. You do your job. I do mine.
So was it just over balls and strikes initially with the umpire and you, and then Tyler?
He's great behind the plate, but. To be honest, those pitches weren't even close to the strike zone. And he got mad because I was talking to the umpire about that, and he jumped into the conversation. So I just told him to do his job, and I do mine.
Did you, on the post-game interview, it sounded like you might have said they quick-pitched it?
After that happened, I keep my focus on my at-bat, because I was a 1-2 count and tried to sneak a fastball as a quick pitch, and I was able to just react to the fastball and put the bat on, and just went out.
Is that why the motion at that point?
Yes, I'll say yes.
Did Teron say anything to you?
If he said, I don't understand why. I have nothing against him. I have nothing against the team. They have a really good team. But I gotta do things for my team too. I think that set the tone of the game. And after that happens, we all went to get out there to battle and win this ball game.
So it kind of annoyed you that he was framing pitches that. Trying to steal some.
He took a lot of pitches. I think he's one of the best in the game. But like I said, we're just talking to the umpire.
You don't expect any carryover. You think this is over and done with?
Yeah, I guess. I have nothing against nobody. Those things are going to happen in the game a lot, and I don't think this is the first time it happens against the Braves.
That's Wilson Contreras, and he just added another aspect to this that I didn't consider.
What's
that? And let's get into this right after we get updated, because there's something important in there that I think informs his reaction.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know. He started saying something well before he got to the plate. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he flexed or something as he left the box. So honestly, it wasn't about me. It was about him showing up the pitcher in that kind of situation. That was more my issue with it. No problem with him saying anything to me, but you know, when it starts to reflect on my pitcher on the mound and our team, that's more of an issue for me.
Don't hide behind your pitcher, Tyler Flowers.
Yeah,
come on.
I love T-Flow. I've known him for a little while. Not all that well, but I've seen him play. I saw him in the minor leagues. Really good guy. I don't like the hide behind the pitcher thing. That's not a thing. Not anymore. We've blown that out of current baseball.
Yeah, he's a grown man. You're a grown man.
Get the guy out.
Admit that you feel like you're as much the target of that as the pitcher.
Yep.
Please. But what Contreras said that I find notable.
What's that?
He thought he was getting quick pitched. He thought the response to some of this stuff was for Tehran to quick pitch him. And just so you know, in baseball parlance, what quick pitching is. And I don't really consider it a thing, because pitching is upsetting timing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And varying your stops and varying your timing is part of the game, and I don't think that goes against any unwritten rules to do that. It doesn't mean that Contreras doesn't think that it does, that it's an insult to him that there isn't an appropriate,
right,
regular rhythm taken of get the sign, establish the pitch, come set, do what you do. That I don't think a hitter should feel insulted when one is quick pitched, but they were trying to get a jump on him in that moment and try to upset his timing, and he was just responding to the fact that he defeated that gambit.
Yeah, it's interesting that the conversation centered for a moment last night around pitch framing, and that's not at all what Flowers was upset about. That's not what Contreras was upset about either.
It was protocol violations more than it was the framing itself.
That's what it was. It was parliamentary procedure. Somebody stood up and spoke out of order, and that's what got them both worked up. It's nerd fight.
It is. It's almost
a version
like
of baseball nerd fight.
It's also like lawyers approaching the bench about when and how you're expected, who's entitled to say what to a judge and when, and what constitutes ex parte conversation. That's really what it is. It's like when I'm having my catcher's dialogue with the umpire,
yeah.
I know you're also a catcher, but don't interject. I'm setting the stage for trying to get calls and pull pitches for my team, trying to add strikes here. Just, it's your turn to shut up right now. When you've got the gear on, you can do your talking, not as a hitter. And there's all sorts of things where it's completely ridiculous, and I still understand it.
Yeah, I do think it's somewhat ridiculous. I also think that Wilson did try to escalate it. That's fine. Just, you know, if you're coming after guys, or if you're going after guys, I should say, or putting it out there, you have to understand that it's going to come back. I don't like that about where baseball is right now. I don't think that should be the case. I think we all ought to just play like Tim Anderson does and have fun and enjoy ourselves and not take things so damn personally. But when he's asked at the end of his postgame comments that we played for you just before the update whether or not this is done, I wouldn't assume that it's done. I mean, this is where a guy like Steve Stone kind of lands on this issue, you know? It should be fine. It should be okay to have fun.
As long as people aren't throwing at anybody here.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to wonder if you're Wilson Contreras, you might have to go into a game thinking, there might be one coming for my hip or something like that. And it sucks. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be in the game the way it might be when the Cubs and Braves strap it up tonight.
Point well taken from the 773. Wilson can't get mad. Pedro Strop quick pitches guys all the time.
Constantly.
Yes. It's a part of what he does.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if guys take an affront to that, okay.
Now, I didn't know we were doing that now.
You still have to hit that.
I didn't know we were doing that now. I didn't know that has now risen to the level of disrespect.
No, I think everything rose to the level of disrespect after Flowers and Contreras got into it while both were talking to the umpire at the same time. Like, that breach, that little, whatever it was, perceived insult, now takes everything else up a level or two. You know, everything else kicked up a notch.
We're going to have a conversation with the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, Stan Bowman. He has been very, very busy, and it looks like he will continue to be on the trade front. And with free agency upcoming, we're going to find out the state of the Blackhawks coming up next. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm thrilled to be a Blackhawk and to touch on what you said earlier about the third overall pick. And I was pretty much taken back. I mean, there's a discussion going on. There's kind of a group of us that could have went there. And for my name to be called, it's surreal. And I'm going to prove them right that I was the right choice.
That's Kirby Dach, the Blackhawks' first round pick. And the Blackhawks have been busy. I shouldn't say the Blackhawks. Well, the guy that runs the Blackhawks has been busy doing it. And he joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fine. And a big trade yesterday. Now it looks like your 6 defensive spots are now filled with the acquisition of DeHaan. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes, I think so. We're looking much better than we did a month ago, and that was an area we had to address. You know, we weren't happy with our defensive zone play last year. We gave up too many goals, and our penalty killing was also an area that we had to improve. So bringing in a couple defensemen with experience in those two things as far as playing defense and killing penalties, I think it was a big step for improving our team.
Stan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like a lot of these defensemen have kind of overlapping skill sets, guys who do a lot of the same things and really well, kind of not quite stay-at-home dudes, but definitely shut down guys that have more defensive capabilities than perhaps mixing in on the offense. Is that a function of what was out there on the trade market for you? Is that a function of team philosophy now with Jeremy Colliton? How is that working out?
No, it's more a function of assessing the shortcomings from last year. I think you have to look at your team and identify what you're good at and then see areas that you can improve. And when you look at last season, we scored a lot of goals. That was not our problem. But we didn't do a good enough job of keeping the puck out of the net. So, you know, we want to improve without taking away from our team. But when you look at, you know, the guys that drove our offense from the defensive side, it was guys like Gustafson and Keith. Like, they're not going anywhere, so we're not really going to we shouldn't have trouble scoring because we have the similar guys back that created the offense. We just got to do a better job, and I think that's what these two additions do, is they give us more, like you said, they are more simplistic players. They defend well, but that was an area that we had a hard time with last year, so I think this should help us be a better team.
So does that mean now that you have taken care of the defense to this extent that if there is another trade to come or as you get into free agency that other spots become the priority?
Yes, that's true. Looking at our forward group, it's sort of a similar commentary. Like I said, we scored a lot of goals. all of our offensive guys are back. You know, we're not going to be searching for people to put the puck in the net. I think we've got to find some guys similarly that can be good penalty killers. And you know, I think obviously some of our top guys can kill penalties. You know, Taves and Saad, but I think we kind of wore those guys out a little bit too much, and we'd like to try to find one or two guys that could be in that role. So I think that's what we're focused on over the next little bit here, whether it's a trade or whether it's a free agent acquisition. It's going to be somebody that, you know, fits well from that perspective. And, you know, if we do that, I think we'll go a long way to improving our overall team performance.
Talking with Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Stan, just a procedural question here. How has the legal tampering period changed your job over the last few weeks and then coming months? For instance, like, I went to college with Joe Pavelski. Have you spoken with a guy that I went to college with lately? Like, are you able to answer those questions, or is it still kind of the same business, but you get to do your behind the scenes different with the legal tampering issue?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can now talk to we could broadcast who we've been talking to, but I don't like to operate that way. I just think it's not the right way to do it. But so relative to years past, when you couldn't contact an agent till July the 1st, now we can talk to them and talk to the player and kind of give them the pitch on what the opportunity in Chicago would be. And, you know, they have time to talk to several teams and then choose which situation fits best for them. So it is different the last couple of years when we've been able to not be so rushed on July 1st. So I think that's why you see things tend to roll out pretty quickly, because you have the conversations the days leading up to July 1st, and then you can execute the actual transaction at that point.
How does that time up with the announcement of the actual salary cap for the upcoming season, then after the draft? When does it just mean you can have maybe broader conversations before you get down to the brass tacks of money with some of these guys?
Yeah, well, you can't really negotiate a contract during this interview period anyway. You can talk sort of in general terms, and you can't actually make a contract offer until July the 1st. But the cap number comes in sort of late in the process, so that does complicate it for some teams. You know, and certainly in the past, that was a challenge for us. This year is a little different because we do have some flexibility with the salary cap. We're not like several teams that needed to know exact number before they could plan their approach. You know, we have some room this year. It's a year from now where it gets more complicated, because we've got a couple of young players in DeBrincat and Strome that are, you know, big parts of where we are now and where we're heading, and they need new deals a year from now. So any free agent you bring in, if it's beyond one season, we're going to be right back in that tough spot, like a lot of these teams are, where they're trying to shed salary. So we're not in that case right now. We're in a very good position. We don't have to get rid of anybody. And I think for that reason, you know, it's probably the best position we've been in years.
Stan, I'm glad you brought that up. I think so many Hawks fans are waking up during this offseason saying, oh, my God, Stan has cap space now. He's going to sign this guy and this guy. But I would imagine that getting guys under contract for the future is as much a focal point for you, like you said. Is there anything to be done this offseason to kind of knock down those numbers or make it more manageable as you go forward?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you just got to be very careful about committing you know, obligations beyond this year. We have some flexibility on one-year contracts to improve our team, and that's what we're going to look at. When you start looking at giving multiple year deals to players, then it is going to impact some guys who will be graduating. So whether those guys sign new contracts early or whether they wait, you know, it's too early to tell on that front. Like, we can't even have those discussions with DeBrincat or Strome until we get to July. They're still in the second year of their deal, so you can't have an extension discussion until they're in the final year of their contract. So I'm not sure where that will go with them, if we'll sign them early or if we'll wait until next summer. But I think the thing to just look at as we're entering free agency is we want to put ourselves in a good position down the road so that we don't have to be like a lot of the teams are now, trying to shed players and shed assets to get rid of players. I think that that's always a tough situation when that happens.
Where does Henry Joakim Haru fit at this point, now that he kind of still on the outside but is developing and still important?
Yeah, he's still so young. Like, he's not even, he might be 20 years old now. Looking at, you forget, because he's been around. He played 20, 30 games in the league as a 19-year-old defenseman, which is really difficult to do. So, the big thing for young defensemen is just to keep getting better and to keep growing your game. So I was impressed with his performance last year when he came back from the World Junior Tournament where they won the gold medal, and he went to Rockford and was really strong down the stretch there. So he took it the right way and wanted to become a better player, and it's kind of the same story this year. Over the course of a year, you use a lot of defensemen, even though we've brought a few veterans in. It's not like you just use six defensemen all year. I think most of the time you use probably 12, 13 defensemen with injuries. So there's the long-range thing, projection is still great for Henry, and he's done something pretty unique coming in under the age of 20 and playing in the league as a defenseman.
So Kirby Dach is the first-round draft pick, third overall. It seems like a really nice guy. He was on with Mack and Parkins yesterday. I wonder, though, what does he need to show you over the next couple of months to make the club, to be a first-year starter, and how would his making that roster affect a guy like Dylan Strome or other centers that might move things around some?
Well, the big thing for Kirby is just to come to training camp and show us who he is and where he's at in his development. And it's hard to predict because he was a really dominant player last season, but it's a big step up to go to the NHL, so he could be very impressive in training camp as well. When we get there, we'll know, and at that point, he's just mixed in with all the other NHL players, and if he's better than them and he's going to help our team win, then he'll be here. And if not, if there's other guys that are ahead of him, then that's most likely these young players need some development time. But not all of them do. Every year there's a couple that stay and start the season and stay the whole year with their team. So trying not to put any pressure on that, or we're just going to let it play out. I think, he's certainly got the physical size on his side. He's a strong kid, and, I think when it's all said and done, he's probably going to end up about another 15, 20 pounds of muscle as he fills out in the next couple of years. So he's about 200 pounds right now. He's not a small guy by any means. And I think the biggest thing when you go to another level from junior hockey is you're playing against men every night. And, the challenge of doing that is, can you keep up and deal with the rigors and the intensity of the physical play? We'll see on that. I think the exciting part is just he's got the size and he's got the strength as a young player, but he's got really good skills. He's got really elite playmaking ability, quick hands. So he could play a lot of different roles. I don't know that the Dylan Strome, I don't think it really is an impact on Dylan, because Dylan was sort of the same thing as Kirby is now a couple years ago. And, I think he really came into his own last year. So both were third picks and big guys. So, I think the combination there, looking at what we could be in a year or two, it's pretty fun to think about.
Have you approached Brent Seabrook and or Duncan Keith about waiving their no movement clauses now or at some point going forward?
No, we're not focused on trading those guys away. They're a big part of what we're doing. I was really happy with the way they stuck with it, even though our team was down the last couple of years, but they want to get this team back on track. And we know what they can do looking at their history here and the moments that they've played a big part in what we were able to accomplish. And Their experience is going to help these younger defensemen. I think the fact that we have a better group of experience around them is going to help raise their games as well. So we're hoping to build on that and be a better defensive group next season.
Last question for you, Stan. We're talking with Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks. As a relatively unsophisticated hockey observer, when the Blackhawks were great, I developed an aesthetic. I developed an understanding of generally what the Hawks were doing. They were exiting their zone with speed, getting through the neutral zone and in with speed, whether it's, you know, Kane sort of curling up and waiting for the late man, or whether it was that long diagonal pass, being able to get a jump on an opponent, having the puck, cycling the puck. As the team has moved away from the contention window and is trying to open another one in a new system, I saw a team that struggled with heavy forechecking. I saw a team struggling to win puck battles and get the engine of the offense going from their own zone. Hey, give me a primer for what I'm watching now. When this thing is humming under Colleton, what does it look like in your mind's eye?
Well, I think Jeremy's system isn't really a complicated one or even that difficult to understand. He wants to play a high-pressure game. So what I mean is when we don't have the puck, we want to pressure the other team and get it back as quick as we can, force them to do things before they're ready to. So if you tend to sit back, you allow them to enter with speed, and then you're on your heels trying to defend. So if you do end up in your own zone, we want to try to pressure guys, force them to make plays quickly, and then we want the rest of the guys to also... It can't just be one guy pressuring. It kind of has to be in unison. So if I pressure and then they move it to another area, then that guy's got to know the pressure. So we want to pressure the puck, get the puck back, and get it moving up ice as quick as we can and spend more time in their end. That's the essential system that we're trying to play. The more you play in the other team's end, the better. I think we didn't do a great job of that at times. We were a great transition team. We scored more goals than most teams in the league. Like when there was a turnover, we're really good. I guess you call it like a fast break team. Mm-hmm. So that's a strength of ours. I think what we got to do a little better job of is, you know, when there is possession in the offensive zone for us, with, you know, we got all our guys in the zone and kind of the old fashioned way of getting the puck to the net, getting bodies there and scoring a little more of the, greasy goals, rebounds, screens, tips. You know, that's something that we want to be better at because we're very good at the exciting type goals. We score a lot of those. I think if we could change the other side and add to a different style, I think it would make our team tougher to play against.
That is very lucid and very helpful.
Thank you,
to me.
Stan.
That was ideal for a hockey observer. That was terrific.
Oh, great
stuff.
Glad I could help.
Yeah, appreciate it. Best of luck with free agency and the remainder of the trading season.
Not for nothing. Always good to have one more Badger in the fold. Just saying, Stan.
All right, we'll keep that in mind.
That is Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks. See, sometimes it's easy. So when you ask a smart person about what they're saying, what is your team trying to do, and how are they trying to do it?
I would like to clip and save that for a little bit later in October. I just want to have that so we can always refer to it.
You know what it sounds like to me in basketball terms? Multiple helps and recoveries defense and discipline in the half court. Right?
Yeah, that really does kind of sound like it. Speaking of basketball, Mike Anderson, who is the head coach of St. John's, former Arkansas head coach, and the guy who brought Daniel Gafford, or helped him anyway, into the NBA, the Bulls' second-round draft pick, and his former coach, Mike Anderson, is going to join us on the other side. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.